Welcome to Got in the Picture on Impact 103, and this is Zibuse El Kunene. And again, this week I am not flying solo, but I am back with Pastor Eric, and we are back for part two of our conversation around forgiveness. And this week we are going again to unpack it some more and kind of work on giving you some practical tools and advice and probably guidance as well, so that you are able to just walk in this journey and find the better self that has forgiven, the better self with a lighter heart, with a heart that is willing to embrace, you know, the love of God and is willing to just love. Now, Pastor Eric last week shared some very beautiful nuggets which were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and there were a lot of lessons that we learned. And these are the lessons which I would like for you to just own and take them with you as you go forward. But before we even get deeper, let's welcome Pastor Eric. Welcome, Pastor Eric, or should I say welcome back.
Good evening. I'm happy to be back again. Thank you so much. It's a privilege for me.
Awesome. So we are going to pick up where we left off last week. But I think for our conversation, we then need to touch on something very important. You know, there's a scripture on Matthew 18, verse 21-35. And I will just indulge you who is listening so that you don't get to go away and you just get to hear this. So from verse 21, it reads thus. And it is all about the parable of the unforgiving servant. Aha, unforgiving servant. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to lead us as we read. Verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded him that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. What an account, Pastor Eric.
Yeah, we can clearly read in the scriptures that this is a conversation between God and us.
Yes.
How he is always willing every day, even like Peter asked him how many times to forgive. And we can clearly see here that God expects us to forgive our fellow brothers because he Himself, God Himself, need to forgive us every single day. And what is also encouraging about what the question about Peter, he says, even Lord, even 70 times 7. And what is encouraging to me is this, that God will never ask us to do something that He's not willing or able to do. That means that He Himself must forgive us even 70 times 7.
Yes.
But also we must remember that there's not giving us a ticket to keep on doing the same thing every day.
Oh,
we must come to a point that we say enough is enough. We will stop this thing because there will be consequences for tolerating this very sin that you are doing.
Yeah.
So we need to deal harshly with the sin, because sin is not pleasing to God. The word says that unforgiveness, it's a sin, and we need to deal with it.
Unforgiveness is a sin. And I think a lot of us would go and call out somebody else whose sin is so glaring and it's so in front of us. We see a married man maybe having an extramarital affair. We see other people doing other things, and then we call them out and we condemn them, and then we judge them, yet we have unforgiveness in our hearts. And what's even worse, I think, is that sometimes some people will offend us and they will not come to us to ask for forgiveness. But then it's still our responsibility to forgive, right? That part, I understand. But now when somebody keeps coming to us and says, please forgive me, I'm sorry, I won't do that again, I'm repentant, and yet we refuse. So that person is actually living in sin.
Yes, the thing is, that will put yourself in prison. You'll be in prison because the whole impact in your life every day. You will, even if you wanted to pray, if you wanted to meditate, that thing will keep on speaking to your mind. You will even get, I encounter many people come for counseling that's got a lot of nightmares just because of that unforgiveness. So if people come to you and say, I'm really sorry, this is exactly what this Matthew 18 says, that we must work on it and say, okay, if you're not ready, maybe you can tell the person, I appreciate what you come to tell me. Thank you so much. I will really work on it. But thank you for your willingness to be humble yourself and to come and break this news to me. So, and then you just start to work on it.
Yeah. So in that instance, I'm not ready to forgive when somebody comes and says, please forgive me. And they've expressed remorse and they are repentant. Is it okay to just simply say, it's okay, I forgive you, but I don't really mean it. I still have that thing inside of me that I've not worked through. Yeah. So should I actually say, I forgive you? Or should I say, I will say I forgive you when I'm ready?
Yeah, look, it will be like a faith statement. It says, okay, and to be honest with yourself and with the person, and say, I'm not ready yet, but just give me some time or whatever. But when it's a smaller thing, I believe it will be much easier. But when is it like, somebody work his livelihood and he collected many things in 30 years and somebody just came and just stole everything from him? Or her, or in a business
Somebody has murdered your loved one.
Yes. And then, of course, it will be a more severe case. And then it will definitely take some work to work through it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, definitely you need Him to do it, because we do not have power of your own. We cannot do it, because we also, a tool for me, I ask God many years back, He must give me a gift of forgiveness.
Oh, wow.
And because forgiveness is a gift. from God. God give us a gift of forgiveness. And then, although the offenses will still come, the grudges and the unforgiveness, the seed that the enemy still wanted to plant it in us, but we must be alert and see what is the plans of the enemy and how to deal with it.
Oh, forgiveness is a gift that God gives us. I think that's something that we take for granted, that it is a gift and it is given by God only for us to be able to do that and forgive. And now I'm even thinking, let me put it this way. When somebody comes and asks for forgiveness from me and I say, I'm not ready. But Matthew 6 says in the prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Does that mean when I have sinned, then God can probably say, I'll wait until you forgive before I forgive you? Or can God just forgive us while we are still holding on to unforgiveness towards other people?
Yeah, it is a difficult question because God he deals with people as he wills. And some of the cases are severe. And I know God is the one that understands. He's the one that is feeling our pain inside us. He's the one that's working with us and to us, that we can, that the pain and the hurt can, start quenching it in our lives and then work through it, and he will help us, because the word says in John 14 and John 15 that he gave us the helper, the Holy Spirit, to take us through step by step. Like I said before, we must have just a willing heart and a repentant heart, and sincere and humble ourselves, and then the Holy Spirit will be able to definitely work through us and in us.
I think now I'm thinking of the person listening on the other end who has just been saved. And they've got a ton of things that they need to work through. What advice can you give to the person listening now, and they need to learn how to forgive?
Let me say this, a tool that works for me, if I can call it a tool. I ask God, when the offense comes from, or somebody that hurt you so much, I ask God to open up my spiritual eyes. Say, Lord, what is this? Is this the enemy plan to come and rob me and steal me from my spiritual blessing or my position in the spirit, my mantle, want to rob me with it? Or is it just a person that is so much hurt in himself that he cannot help to be like this? You know, some people might be very rude to you in the morning.
Yes.
He just brutally rude to you. Mm. And but you don't know that maybe he just left, lost a relative last night, passed away. But that is very important to be always ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what is happening here? And when God open up your spiritual eyes to see the person, and then you can understand why certain people act like certain, because some people were bullied, some people were raped, some people were had so much abuse in the childhood, and then they cannot help to be like that. But once God opened up your spiritual eyes and you can see that inside of them, and then you will be able to understand why the person is doing it to you. It is not, like I said before, it is life is spiritual, okay? And nothing happens in the natural before it happens in the spirit. So we must just allow ourselves just to ponder about the situation and say, Lord, open up my eyes. Let me see what is this person going to. And sometimes when you realize that this person, maybe he was raped in school or something like that, then you can even love the person that, even the offender that offended you, then at that stage you can look at him and you can even love him with the love of Jesus, because you know that he had and he's carried for so many years.
Sure. Love your enemies and bless pray those who curse you and pray for them. You know, as you're speaking now, I'm even thinking, so that means, you know, Christianity is not easy. That it means that God trusts us so much that he would allow other people to hurt us or offend us so that we can seek him in understanding their heart and then pray for them. Because if they don't offend us, then we are unbothered. I'm thinking, you know, there was an incident one time. We were driving with my wife, and then there was this car coming from behind us. This gentleman was just driving so recklessly, switching lane and speeding. And unfortunately for him, the traffic lights kept stopping him. Up until one time where we were getting on the left-hand side, it was a hospital, and we were then coming towards the traffic lights. And by this time, he had been behind us. So as he comes from behind us, he even goes on the shoulder lane and is driving fast. But as he turns, I then see that in the car, he's got his son and he's driving. And then he turns into the hospital. And so the Holy Spirit said, had you judged him, you would not have seen, you would have missed the fact that this gentleman is rushing to the hospital, probably taking his son there for an emergency. So it's all of those things where the Holy Spirit says, do not judge, just be patient and ask for that heart.
Yeah, you see, this is exactly what the Bible means by everything worked out good for those who love God.
Mm.
Just an example, what happened the other day, I was also there again in the prayer mountain, and there was a lady sitting there. She asked me, there were a couple of them, and the one asked me if I can pray for her. And the moment I started to pray for her, the Lord revealed also again to me that there's people in her heart that she must deal with, because she got the severe headaches and also even nightmares, very, very bad nightmares. So the moment I started to pray with her, I said to her, listen, please, the Lord says there's two people in your life you need to forgive. And first of all, she looked at me, she said, yes, she will deal with it. I said to her, yeah, it's very important, because you can even get sick because of a lot of unforgiveness that's in your life. And after 2-3 weeks again, I saw her again there, and because I see many people, I can't always remember what I told the previous people whenever I give them a message.
Yeah.
So I spoke to her again, and I said to her that you must forgive. He said, yes, but I told her 3 weeks ago. I said, please, this is a serious matter, because it's the second time now the Lord is reminding you. You must really deal with it. And about a month after that, she came again for prayer. And then she gave me a testimony. She said, you can't believe what happened to her. She called those two people and she reconciled with them, even in such a way that she even start counseling them now and lead them to the Lord. And so everything works out good. Sometime God uses the foolish things in life.
Yeah.
To teach us and to reveal and to even help us to grow spiritually. But let me tell you what I can testify on my own life.
Mm.
Once you can deal with a big thing that happened in your life, big, if you can call it big, like a forgiveness that it was a severe case.
Yeah.
Once you go through that, let me tell you, there's a spiritual promotion that is coming your way. Because to deal with such a big case, and you can go through it and deal with every single matter, and even the other party, then you can maybe reconcile on a spiritual matter, and on a Christian brother sister brotherhood, sisterhood,
yeah,
in the body of Christ, and then there's definitely a big reward that's waiting for you.
Wow. But with that said, also we should not forgive so that because we're expecting that. But it should just, forgiveness should become a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the obstacles and despair and the circumstances are also there to mold us.
Yes.
And to we must use that opportunity or that circumstance of despair that to push us closer to Jesus. And that is a positive side of the bad things. When life happens, then to take the positive thing out of it is to use this matter to get closer to the Lord.
Wow. I'm reminded again of the scripture that you said. It's from Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That it is just amazing that God can entrust us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That God can entrust us with pain. But that pain and offense is not for us. But that pain and offense is for somebody else. It is for us to help somebody else heal and become better, but also to bring other people closer to him through our pain. The Holy Spirit is powerful, eh?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Our counselor, mighty counselor.
He is indeed a mighty counselor. Now, you mentioned the prayer mountain. And I think for somebody who's on the other side listening, it is probably thinking, eish, this place where I have to go high up and
put on some hiking boots. It is not a physical mountain. It's a spiritual mountain.
It's a spiritual mountain. And I invite you, if you are listening now, that, you know, make some time, contact Pastor Eric and go to the prayer mountain. It is a very beautiful place. It is a place where you can just be alone in the presence of God and just soak in that silence, because there are so many other people who go there and they pray. I know that there are people who pray for others, and then there are people who pray for themselves, but then there are people who also pray for the place itself. So tell us just a little bit about the prayer mountain. How did it come about? And, you know, what is the vision that God has given you for the place?
What is very encouraging for me about the prayer mountain is the many people that came there before. They've got so many testimonies, and that's really encouraging me just to continue with it. And last year, we started about 2 years ago, and last year God said to me that he will start to send in groups now. Even every week, there's a couple of churches that comes there.
Mm.
Even I think last week we were about 80 people that came here on morning, because we're opening from normal hours, about 7 to 7.
Yeah.
But if you have a special occasion or a special group that wanted to come earlier, then we do a special arrangements for that. But like you said, you just come there and just sit in the presence of the Lord. And the place is very overwhelming, because there are so many birds, and you're just there in the middle of the city, like you're just there in nature, because the Bible also says that when you want to get close to God, you get close to nature. You must get close to nature, because Jesus in the morning, he goes to the mountain first before he start his day, and in the evening when he conclude his day, the task, he goes to the mountain. So everyone is welcome to come there, and we've got some toilet facilities there, and also some water. We prefer that people will come there and pray and fast. Some people come there for 8 hours, some come for 1 hour, but they are all welcome. They must just contact me, and we make arrangements for that. But let me tell you this. I said the other day to people that this place is a testimony factory, because everybody that comes, even you yourself,
I think
got some testimonies that some things that happened to you. Mm. So we are grateful for that. We are also, what is also encouraging for me, it is like a no man's land. So it is not, there's no denomination or special church or whatever. Ah. So all people are welcome there. We do not have memberships there, nothing. We just come there and you can just spend the time and the day, the minute, hours, whatever you would like to, in the presence of the Lord.
Amen. Yes, I do know. It's one of those places where whenever I just need to break away, I also go there. And you know, I appreciate it. By the way, this year you started out with, I think it was, what, 13 stations or so?
Yeah, and at the moment, well, finally got to a stage when we only constructed 20 stations, mm. and each station specifically God gave me a name.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then we also got a small church there, like in the bush church. It's like a bush church. We can accommodate about 150 people.
Oh, it's 150 now.
Yeah, that they can go walk around there and sit in stations and just pray whatever the Holy Spirit allow them to pray.
Yeah. My favorite is the Apostle Peter and then King David. And then the church, Antioch. I love that. So I do encourage you that if you do want to visit the prayer mountain, simply send the words PS for Pastor and then Eric, and then we will give you the contact details for Pastor Eric, and then you can get in touch with him and just have your journey. If you do want counseling, you can also contact him and he will help you through. And you know, you can never be enough with people who pray with you and for you, and that's what I encourage you to do. Just come there and find the place of solace for you. So thank you, Pastor Eric, for making the time.
I just want to tell the people that it is not far.
Yes,
it is just almost a kilometer from behind Woodlands Mall.
Yes,
in that area. So we are in Pretoria East.
We're in Pretoria East. It's a community place. So it's for the community of Pretoria. And if you do want to make it through to Pretoria East, please do come through. Make time and I promise you, you'll love it. Thank you. You've been listening to Impact 103 with Zibuse Elgunene. And this was God in the Picture. We shall communicate again next week. As for me, I am now signing off, but you don't go anywhere. Just stay tuned because there's some amazing programming that's coming for you.